Sing that one more time. Sing that again.
Oh, and Jesus, draw me closer.
Bless you this evening. It's good to see everybody. Can make it out. Hope everyone's having a wonderful week. Beautiful day, beautiful weather. It's just the best time to be alive, isn't it? You know why it's so good? Because this is about as close to heaven's kind of weather as we're gonna get. If you don't like it outside, you might not like it in heaven too well, because I think it's gonna be like it is right now. That's my opinion. If I'm wrong, I'm fine with that. Let's just get there and find out. All right. Amen. Let's go ahead and go to prayer and just ask God to come and speak to us. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful we can be here tonight. We appreciate the many blessings you give us and just the way you take care of us. And Lord, you're so mindful of the smallest details in our lives. And so many times we just overlook it. Sometimes you have to nudge us a little bit and say, hey, I just done something for you. And Father, we just pray we'd be more mindful of you and the things that you do and how much you care for us. And surely if you're going to take care of these little details, surely you'll take care of the big things that really matter too, Lord. We have such confidence in you, Father, when we see you living among us and working and producing yourself, Lord. We ask tonight that you would come and meet the needs of each person, Lord, to encourage us tonight, Lord. It's just the battles, Lord, sometimes they get so rough, and sometimes we can feel so drugged down and tired and weary. But Lord Jesus, we come here tonight just to be refreshed, Lord, to let you come and just bring a fresh anointing, something, a new faith, a new revelation, something just to keep us to press on, Lord Jesus, that we can just walk from here so encouraged, knowing that you care. What a great comfort it is, Lord, just to know that you care. Sometimes that's all we need, Lord, just something from you tonight. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. If you want to read in your Bibles along, we're going to read several scriptures tonight. We'll just start with one. Let's turn to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, we're going to read a couple scriptures there, a couple of verses. Isaiah 52 and verse 7 through 9. It says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. You may be seated. I was heading home from work a couple weekends ago. It was Friday night. Well, it was Memorial Day weekend, May 27th. And on the way home, I was getting, going on vacation, taking a little trip. And I was going to go home and pack up and all. And I got a text from Brother John Andes on the way home. And he said, I'm going to be in Murfreesboro tonight preaching. I'd like to see if you could come by. So I changed my plans quickly. I went there, and he was there. They're having a youth services that weekend. And he, by the way, he said to greet everybody. He thinks about us. He prays for us and all that. And he just encouraged that we're still going on. And so Brother John Andy says to tell y'all hello. But he read one of when he was preaching, he read a scripture. And it just triggered a thought, and I had spoke on the watchman a couple weeks before that, and I thought that was just going to be it. And then he spoke on something, and it just brought me something back to me and got me thinking. It's, I think, the first time I've preached since then, and so it's on my heart since then to preach it. So tonight, I'm going to speak on the watchman again a little bit. And I think it's going to be a lot different than the last time I spoke on the watchman. Tonight I want to speak on the characteristics and the expectation, the characteristics of a watchman and the expectations that people have. And I do have a lot. I'm going to try and go like 45 minutes or something and stop if that's the way God leads, and just pick it up later if I'm not done. But I don't know how it's going to go. I might finish tonight. It just see how it goes. But we want to talk about what a true watchman is, the characteristics, so you can recognize, so you know what a true watchman is, so you can have confidence in the watchman that God puts on over you. We're also going to see what a false one looks like, and we want to see how people's expectations sometimes are different than what God's expectations are from his watchman. Sometimes we try to influence the watchman with the way we think the watchman is supposed to act. Now, of course, tonight I'm talking the watchman is the ministry, the fivefold ministry, right? And a lot of other people who try to insert themselves and become watchmen, even though maybe they're not called for it, or maybe they are called, but they're just not born again. They need to get born again so God can use them in the role. Now, we read this scripture. It says, how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. And it says, you know, these watchmen shall lift up the voice, and with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring Zion. First of all, let's just start right there. See eye to eye. What does that mean? It means we're all going to be agreeing with each other, right? It means all the watchmen are going to be preaching the same thing, right? Well, to an extent, that's true. But let me tell you something. A lot of things we are not going to see eye to eye on. Things that don't matter. All right? Things that, you know what? If it's going to happen. Let me give you an example. The rapture. You can listen to what Brother Branham preached, and in some places I think he said something like this. He said the rapture he believes is going to happen between 6 and 9 in the morning. I think he said something like that. Other places he says something like it's going to be universal. It's all going to happen at once because, you know, two in the bed, two, you know, one taken, two in the field, one taken. So it's going to happen, you know, all around the same time. Another place, it sounds like he said the rapture is going to take place over 2 to 3 days. Who cares? Are we going to split up and get and ruin a church and get all strung up? Well, I believe it's this way. I believe it's this way. Over your opinion about it? Folks, all you need to worry about is make sure, however it happens, make sure you're ready to go. That's all that matters. We're not going to get all tore up. Well, you believe it's going to happen that way. Well, he believes it's going to happen. Well, I don't know what to believe anymore. How about believing what God has revealed to you? That's all that you required anyways. So when it says eye to eye, see it's not like, oh, we're going to agree on every little detail, because something is my opinion, and personally, I don't know, you know, like I said, I really don't care right now. If you care about this, pray about it, and maybe God will reveal to you exactly how it's going to happen. I doubt it, but he might. But see, it's just not important. Let's stay with what's important, folks. Let's focus on what matters. Let me give you something that matters. Some preacher says the seventh seal isn't open. Some say it is open. Now we're talking about something that matters, because if the seventh seal isn't open, then what I'm seeing happen today is not Christ. All of a sudden it gets serious. And if it is open and I'm seeing Christ, then that minister who's preaching it ain't open. It's not preaching Christ. That's what matters. See, what when it says they're going to see eye to eye, it means they're all, the real minister, the real watchman who has been born again by the Spirit of God is going to be able to recognize Christ and lead people to Christ. Whether or not they agree with all your opinions and everything, it doesn't matter. Do you see Christ? That is what matters. There is where the true ministry is going to all pointing to the same thing. That manifestation of the word today is Christ. Do you know him? See, that's what it means to see eye to eye, brother and sister. It's not we're all going to get together like Brother Jerry's preaching these ministers' meetings. Let's all get together and make sure we're all preaching the same thing. You might as well just go ahead and put the big old sign, Federation of Churches, over the door, because that's what that attitude is. Just get the revelation from God, and you don't have to worry about if you're preaching the same as someone else, because if they got the revelation from God and you got the revelation from God, you're preaching the same thing. You know what Paul said? said, I didn't learn it from my dad. He'd go up there, then he'd end up preaching the same thing the other people were preaching. They hadn't been together, but they're all preaching the same thing. It's the same thing. You can listen to people, you know, ministers on the internet, and they're preaching something. You say, oh my goodness, they're preaching exactly what's being preached here and someplace else. And you listen to other ministers and think, where are they coming from? Where did they get that revelation? Let me tell you what to judge a minister by, a ministry by. I'm not talking about the person, I'm talking about the ministry. Here's what you judge it by: the effect it has on the people. Is it producing Christ, or is it just producing a lukewarm message believing religion? That is the thing, brother and sister. The true minister feeds the flock on the word. Not on anything else. It's strictly on the word, and the word preached in time in its season will produce Christ in its season. Just preaching doctrines and quotes and religion will produce a nice bunch of lukewarm message believers. It's the best you can do. It's got to be the revealed word. All right, I'm going to return to a certain place. I'm going to go to Jeremiah 23. You don't have to turn because, like I said, I'm going to a lot of different places. Just to keep going, I'm not even going to wait. If you want to turn, that's fine. But it said, Jeremiah 23:1, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. So now there's a lot of people, there's some of these false pastors, these false watchmen, they go out, and he's saying what they are not supposed to be doing. So let's look at this little quote. He said, the pastors that feed my people. So they're feeding them, but it's the wrong food. What are you eating on? What are you feasting? What word are they eating on? Is it yesterday's manna? Because so many times that's all they can do is preach yesterday's manna. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. Brother and sister, like Brother Jerry said, we need that. Especially the young people coming up. They need to get that revelation for themselves. But brother and sister, for those of us who have that and have had it for a while, we need to make sure we're eating on the word that he has prepared for us. And by the way, it is an individual walk. Everyone sitting there can be feeding on a different part of the word, even though it's coming out of the same mouth. Because he reveals different things to different people, just as you have need of. He said, you have scattered the flock and driven them away. How does that happen, brother, sister? Because you're going to preach something that... I'm going to get in trouble. That's all right. Brother, sister, scattering them, driven them away. Why? Because the people who are hungry for the real word aren't getting fed, so they had to go somewhere else and find it, and they're bringing all the people in and saying the things that they want to hear to keep them there in their congregation. And the real sheep looking for a real meat are struggling out on the hillside looking, I'm hungry, I need something more, what's going on? How come my church isn't satisfying me? Scattering them. And then he says, I have not visited them. I'm going to stop there in a second on this one. This really struck me when I was reading this. Have not visited them. This is where our expectation comes in about the pastor and what kind of a person he's supposed to be. When I have a problem, you better come knocking on my door. You're supposed to be visiting me. Sometimes they expect the pastor just to know this by, I don't know, because they don't bother to call him, but when he don't show up, well, he didn't come. Did you call? Do you ask for him to come? Well, he should have known. Okay, well, sometimes he does. Sometimes God can show him, and sometimes he doesn't, because you know why sometimes God won't show him? Because of your silly, stubborn idea of what a pastor's supposed to be. Come down off your little high pedestal of religion and go ahead and just be a human being once. I don't know why I'm saying this like this, because a person in here has this problem. Visiting them. Let me read something Brother Bram said. How many wonder were thinking of just how great men, great servants who God has used, and finally come to a place where they feel they know so much about the Word of God that they don't even have time to go off to pray no more? So now we're talking about, we see pastors and we see ministers, and not just pastors, but all kinds of ministers, who they have such a pull with the people that they feel that they pretty much, they don't have to worry too much about getting anything from God. They can just do and say what they want to keep the people happy. It's always social visit. Visit somebody, go out to dinner. And the time they should be spending with God alone and preparing to come out in the sweetness of the Spirit before the congregation, they're out somewhere with some entertainment. You can't serve God and man at the same time. God's servant should be an isolated person to him only, if we could only let the people see that. That ain't the kind of pastor people want. They want someone who's going to be out there socializing. They want to go out for dinner with them. They want to hang out with them. They want to do all this stuff with the pastor. And that's perfectly okay to want that, but you got to understand, sometimes that's not what God's will is. I remember several years ago, Brother Jerry was preaching on this. He said, some of you want to be friends with me, but you can't handle it. Because I go out to dinner with you Friday night, and I get up and tear you up Sunday morning. You're going to sit there with a long face. Well, I thought we were friends, and now you're chewing me out. He is. That's the way it is, folks. We want to socialize. We want someone who's going to make us all feel good, sit around and fellowship and just have a wonderful time talking about the Lord. And sometimes that is not what God has in mind. He said God's servant should be an isolated person to him only. If your pastor ain't saying something, they're hanging out with you, he's saying something's wrong sometime. That's not the kind of ministry God people want. He said they get to a place to make themselves under obligation as they meet the people. They meet the people, they're bound to be a want for this and a want for that. Then the man of God gets his mind all tore up. He's so tore up when he goes to his room, he begins to study. Now, if I don't do this, this man will feel bad about it. And this, don't do this, this man will feel bad about it. Let me tell you right now, your ministry here at this church hasn't had that problem. Brother Jerry's going to preach what has to be preached, no matter if it makes you feel bad. If you don't want to go out to dinner anymore, that's fine. And most of those people have left. We've seen them weed out. So, brother and sister, if this is the kind of ministry that God says, this is my true ministry, then we should be thankful for what God has given us. Not questioning it. He said, then he walks out to the platform. He hardly knows what he's saying, where he's standing. His mind is all tore up when he ought to have spent that time with God. He says this, they're not social leaders. Wow. That just blew 90% of the message pastors out of the pulpit, because that's what they want, is a social leader. All you can preach to us, but let's make sure we have a nice dinner. Let's make sure we have this going on. Let's make sure we have that. And brother, have the pastor lead us to make sure we have all that. It's not the pastor's job to be a social leader. That's why there's deacons. We don't have any here. Well, step up and do the job anyways. Show some leadership. You've been called to the body. A man of God should be dedicated wholly to the service of God. Leadership. I just can't. I'm trying to go on. I'm just stuck right there. Leadership. Show some leadership, folks. Be led by the Holy Spirit. We have people in offices here at this church who need to step up. They are elected for a purpose. Amen. I knew Brother Jim would say that. I'm not picking on any specific people or anything like that. Like I said, I try to keep going. I'm just stuck here on the word leadership. There's got to be leadership, brother and sister. That's why we're putting offices around here. That's what it's for. Jeremiah 23:3, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. How's he going to do that? By having two shepherds, two watchmen taking these people, and he's going to use them, and he's going to restore the people who are lost, restore the ones who are scattered. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. God's shepherds are going to feed them on the word, the revealed word for the hour. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Now the true watchman, that's the characteristics, because the people under that rule, ministry will fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither will they be lacking. Now, what does that mean? Because sometimes I walk around in fear. Hallelujah. Sometimes I feel like I'm lacking. Sometimes I'm dismayed. Does that mean the ministry is not fulfilling its job? No, it does not, because that's in my mind. Hallelujah. Who cares what's going in my mind? What is the word saying? What's happening in my soul? What is taking control of my mind? What is putting everything in perspective? I have so much joy that I can't stand it sometimes. Amen. Tore up. And yet there's something down inside that just gives you peace. There's something that just holds on in the midst of all of it. And it says, yeah, but you're still going through. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what it's talking about. That's the effect of the real ministry of Jesus Christ. Because in the midst of the storm, there is peace. Oh, this old ship might be battered and it might be tore up, but down inside there is an anchor that holds. Yeah, Harry, what's that all about? It's because I sat on a ministry that produces Jesus Christ. Glory to God. If it produces it in me, it will produce it in everyone who accepts the same word. If you have a seed inside of you, it will come to life. Some of you say, well, I don't know if I ever see. Don't you think it's time you find out? What are you waiting on? Oh, yeah. They shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking. What are you lacking? Don't worry, it's coming. What are you dismayed about? Don't worry, that's going to be taken care of. What are you afraid of? Love casts out fear. My. What more do you want? What more do we want? The Word of God being manifest in our midst, in your personal self. Oh, look, I'm not talking about this stuff that goes on in our minds, brother and sister. Sometimes I walk around my house so lonely I can't hardly stand it. I say, God, what am I supposed to do? I gotta talk to somebody. He says, quit your crying. I got you. I know what you're going through. What do you want? You got eternal life. What you whining for? Stand up and go forward. Hallelujah. You know what's going to happen tonight? I'm going to go home and be lonely as can be. That's all right. That's just something I'm dealing with. That's a battle. But inside, where it matters. Let me tell you what's more lonely than that. Can I tell you? When it's your that loneliness and you don't know that you're going to heaven. You don't know that you're saved. And that loneliness is because of the lack of God inside. It's not just something in your mind. It's something in your soul. And you're crying out. And it's a dark emptiness. And you think, oh God, don't let me die because I'm not ready. That is the definition of loneliness, brother and sister. I would never trade what I got now for that. I don't care how many beautiful women are hanging around. I don't care if I was married to the most wonderful person on earth. I will not trade this what I got for something like that. Glory to
to God. Why? Because Christ means everything to me, just like he does to you. Oh, yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Now, let me say something else about the watchman. Brother Branham says this, don't never trust in some man. I don't care who he is, if he's a holy man, if he's good. He said, there's not such a thing. Let me correct that. There's no holy man. There's no holy church. There's not such a thing. It's a holy God, not a holy man. It's the Holy Ghost. Peter once referred to the holy mountain on Mount Transfiguration. It wasn't a mountain that was holy. It was a holy God that met them on the mountain. If that is true, then why do we have all these relics about Brother Branham floating around? Why don't we have to go, let's go visit this. Brother Branham went there, and he went there. And he, there's nothing wrong with that unless you make it your religion. Then you're just a Catholic. What am I saying? I said, don't look at the man. You know one reason I think I'm single? Because if someone is hanging around me, they see what a horrible life I do sometimes, and they lose all confidence in me. You look at any person close, you're going to see all kinds of stuff. You said you were born again. Look at you. Sometimes I look at myself and say, how in the world can I do something or think that or say that and still claim to be a born again and even a preacher? But you know what I'm not supposed to do? I'm also supposed to not look at the man. I'm supposed to look at the God inside of me. And you quit looking at your flesh and start looking at God inside of you, and you'll find that it brings this flesh into subjection to it. Amen. Yes, it will. So, oh, I don't like the way this is. I don't think Brother Jerry should do this, and I don't think Brother Phil should do that, and I don't like the way Brother David does that, and I don't like the way, oh, shut up. Nobody cares what you like. Do you see Christ in the person? Get your eyes off the flesh, for goodness sakes. I'm losing my voice. The very greatest of men falls. Don't never put your confidence or make some man your example. Look to God. Christ is your example. As I follow Christ, follow me. That's how Paul said. That's what Brother Brown said. That's what you do with your watchman. That's what you, as you see and follow Christ, you follow the Christ in the man. Amen. That's right. Let me read you something else. Always the man who takes God's provided way is always a man who's looked down upon as a fanatic. And if you identify with that watchman, you are also a fanatic. Might as well get used to it, folks. I don't know if you know how people look at Dixon Church. I'm sure by now you do. Bunch of fanatics. He always, through all ages, considered by the world a fanatic. Never, never in any time was God, religion, and salvation of this earth ever popular with the people of the world. It's just not going to be popular. It's just not. I wasn't even going to bring this up. I'm going to bring this up. This is weird. I was on a website recently. I don't even know how I got. I was looking up something. I brought this. Anyways, it was talking about satanic religion. And they had like these tenets, these foundations of satanic religion. And one of these said, always, and I don't know a word for it, but always take the feelings or the emotions over the word, the spoken or the written word. Something like that. It's very loosely interpreted. But you always take your feelings. You always take your sense of justice. You always take everything else over the word, over the written or spoken word, and direct Antichrist opposition to what the word says. You always take the word over everything else. But that is exactly what political correctness has done. It don't matter what is right. How do you feel about it? And it's playing into our churches. It does when I think of that. I heard this minister one time. I asked him about something going on, and I'm just gonna be honest. I said something about going on in Jeffersonville. I said, "What do you think about that?" He said, "Well, how do you think Brother Joseph feels?" Brother, sister, he didn't say, what does the word say? He said, how does he feel? That is a satanic principle. My heart hurts. I love that brother. He was one of my best friends, but he took a satanic principle. He didn't say, what does the word say? I was in another, another situation. And that's completely different. But the minister says, well, this happened. How was I supposed to do? She was there sitting there crying. What was I supposed to do? What did he say? What does the word say about it? He said, how was I supposed to feel? You stay away from a watchman who puts their feelings over the word. My, I don't know, I was not planning on saying that. Here we go. Isaiah 56, all ye beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest, his watchmen are blind. My, blind watchmen, what is that they're blind to? They don't recognize Christ in their day. They see quotes, they see stories, they see scriptures, they see anointings, they see works of the Holy Spirit, but they don't recognize Christ, and therefore they're blind. They don't know Christ, and they cannot lead people to Christ. They are all ignorant for the exact same reason. They think because they can preach a message that just blows your socks off that they know something, but they are ignorant because they're not preaching Christ. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. What is that about? The watchman is supposed to be up on the wall. They're supposed to be standing there. They're supposed to be seeing the enemy. These are dumb. They're blind. They cannot bark. They don't have a voice. Because why? Because God says, I will not even spew out of my mouth. I will not use you to speak through anymore. They can't tell the enemy is coming because they don't know that they already are engulfed by the enemy. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Loving to slumber. Just be calm. Let's just get along. Yeah, I know that's, I don't really agree with that, but that's none of our business. That's none of our business. That's none of our business. Let's just take care of this right here. And they're sleeping, and they won't call out. They will not withstand. They will not recognize the Antichrist spirit that gets closer and closer. And they're looking out here, and it's coming right up the aisle of their church. Amen. Sleeping. We just want to get along. We just want to have a nice church. Let's just let all those people out there just worry about their own stuff. We'll just take care of ourselves right here. Brother and sister, we need to take care of ourselves right here by keeping the enemy out. Yes. Keeping the enemy out. Well, how you do it? By exposing him. When you see that spirit of political correctness trying to influence you, brother and sister, in your personal life, you recognize that satanic. It is satanic. You don't know something they say in this satanic religion? You know that they have one of their key mottos, their cliche is, know thyself. Ain't that amazing? Because the whole world is telling you, know yourself, know thyself, know who you are, discover who you are, go find yourself. Oh yeah, people are doing all kinds of crap. I'm trying to find myself, trying to find who I am. Identify. It sounds so good. You know what the Bible says? Know Christ. Recognize that you are Christ. Oh, what more of yourself do you want to know? When I found myself, I know myself. That's when I look in the mirror of this word and found myself. There I am. There I am. I know myself. I'm Jesus Christ today. Boy, that just blows people's minds. Who do you think you are? I think I'm a son of God. Don't you? Then identify yourself. Have the courage to stand up and say it. I can't get off. One more thing. The ultimate that Satan worshipers are trying to do is become gods. They're looking to be one with the Godhead. That's their words. To become one with the Godhead. Exactly what the bride is currently doing. And they are currently doing it with their Godhead. Oh yeah, he's a great mimicker. He sees what Christ is, what God is doing, and he brings his right along just alongside. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not talking about the people who go to satanic churches. I'm talking about message believers. Oh yeah, that Antichrist spirit is satanic, brother and sister, and they're doing the very same thing, but they're worshiping three gods, and they are becoming one with that Godhead. That's not my words. Brother Branham said it. He said they go to a church and they worship Satan. Why? Because a watchman can't bark. The watchman is asleep. That watchman cares more about his pocketbook and about getting his stomach full and about your pocketbook and your women and your popularity and everything than it cares about your soul. You know why? He ain't never been born again. That's what it is. Jesus said it really clear. You must be born again. Yes, sir. It'll change you. Yay, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Oh, just come back next Sunday, because I got something really going to blow your socks off next Sunday. Boy, you're really going to be impressed with all the knowledge I give you. Boy, there's deep, mysterious things, and you're just going to be blown out of your chair. And then we're going to shout and sing and have a good old time. I was at a church recently, the minister got up and said, well, tonight we're going to have church. We're going to shout. We're going to dance a little bit. We're going to sing. We're going to do it. That's good. But that's a minor. Who cares if you're all dancing the aisles if you didn't hear from Jesus Christ? Who cares if you can shout and sing and dance and worship God and the Spirit falls if Jesus Christ wasn't there? Because he's probably on the outside knocking and saying, hey, you forgot something. It's true. Looking for something to keep the people entertained. Looking for something to keep them happy. Because when that spirit falls, it is the most amazing place to be in the world, except in the presence of Jesus Christ. And you can have that spirit fall all day long and Jesus Christ not 100 miles within range. Oh, to hear the word. The evidence of the Holy Ghost isn't that you can jump and shout and scream. It's can you be taught? Do you have ears to hear the word for your age? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you do, you see the effect in your own life. What do people want? They want a minister that's just a social leader. They want a pastor who's just going to take them to church and preach them happy. I love being preached happy, but I don't want you to just come up and just fill my head with a lot of bubble dancing and all kinds of, well, you're a believer, you're a believer. I want you to show me the evidence in my life that I'm a believer. Show me the evidence. Prove to me by me looking at my own life and say, yes, that proves it. There's my evidence. I can be taught. I can stand the correction. I am not a bastard born because when the correction comes, I accept it. That's something that this church blows my mind because you can get up here and preach the hardest things and you all sit there and take it and you even come up and say, well, that was for me. What's wrong with you? That's not normal. People don't accept correction like that. Don't you know better? You should be getting mad and walking out, but you keep coming back. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me find that quote. I gotta stop right there for a second. Uzziah was a good person, a fine person, a God-blessed man, but no matter what it was, he must always stay in his place because God gave him the opportunity to influence others by being a righteous king, not a priest. And the word forbid him to do that. He went in and was going to offer the offering when he was called down. The word was given to him. He wasn't supposed to do that thing that God had blessed him in his business, whatever it was, but not to try to take this priest's place. He was out of the word. He was going to do it anyhow, no matter what anyone said. You know the story. Uzziah the king going in to offer incense, and the priest said, "Don't go in there. Don't do that. Stay in your place." That's been preached over here too. That's not your job to run the church. You're the deacon. You're the trustee. Your job is not the spiritual leadership of this church. Don't get out of your place. What I said a minute ago about show that leadership in your position, make sure it is your position and stay there. If God wants you to do something else, he'll put you there. He said he was going to do it anyhow, no matter what anyone said. We've had people try to run the church even though they weren't the pastor. And the pastor preached it over and over the pulpit, and they would not repent. They would not change. They left. He said, isn't that the attitude of too many people today? They won't take correction of the word. That's the reason we find ourselves wrapped up in a big council of churches here, not knowing where we're going, heading into the world, tens of thousands of members at it every year, and we don't see the hand of God moving anywhere. Because they won't take correction. And the reason this church keeps going on is because the members here have learned to take correction. And as long as we do that, brother and sister, we will keep going forward. Because that is exactly what the problem is. Because that's why you have the watchman. That's how he sees the enemy coming. He sees the influence in your life. He says, stop doing that. Get rid of that spirit. Identify that bad attitude. Get rid of that thing. And if we stub up a little bit, he comes back the next day and says, you still have that problem. You're not hiding it. And what happens? After a while, sometime quickly, sometime later, but sometime you come up and say, I got to repent. This is about me. I need to get rid of this. And sometime you do it sitting at your chair, at your seat. And that's why we keep going forward. He said the reason these other people are heading to that council of church is because they won't accept correction. So it's, well, you got two choices. Either accept correction and go to the rapture, or don't accept correction and go to the World Council of Churches. Your choice. Brother, sister, you made the right choice. You've taken the harder way. You've accepted it. You've been like a child and say, Papa, I'm sorry. I don't want to be this way. He said, that's all I wanted to hear. So I got to go out and change. No, just repent. Just give it to God. That's all he wanted to hear. I'm sorry. I don't want to be this way. You walk out of here a different person. But you know what we do? We say, I don't want to be this way, so I got to go out and change myself. I'm going to skip this and come back to this. I'm going to finish this quote in a minute. I need to read this one. If you've ever seen anything helpless, it is to get a sheep lost. When a sheep is lost, he just can't find his way. That's all. He will just stand right there and bleat till the coyote get him or something. He's just lost. He's helpless. Now, those are people who don't want a pastor. Stand there and bleat. The coyote's going to get you. That's the way a man is. When you're lost, brother, I don't care how much reforming you try to do, you're absolutely helpless until the shepherd come gets you. Can I just say something about Dixon, Tennessee? We are sitting here helpless and lost until the shepherd sent a watchman to come get us. He said, well, I wasn't lost, Brother Phil. All right, well, I was. You were going to church and you were leading songs and I was not born again. Because my life hadn't changed on the inside. And you tried to convince me I was. I'll tell you right now, you're wrong. Because my nature hadn't changed. I did not know Christ. But I do now. My. You're absolutely helpless until the shepherd come get you. You can't save yourself. There's no way at all to do that. A leper can lick his spots just as hard as he could. You could scrub them with soda, anything you want. It'll only brighten the spot. There's no way you can reform ourselves or lay aside this or turn a new page. There's only one thing for do that's except the word said to do, be born again or lost. And we see our spot, we see our problems, we see our temper and our lust and our greed and our bad attitudes and all that. And we try to stop, and we try to stop doing this, and we try to stop doing that. Brother, sister, you're just making them shine all that much brighter. One of the saddest things I've ever heard, I've heard it many times, and I've said to myself, oh, if I could just do this, if I could just overcome this, if I could just try harder, if I could just be more sincere, it's just a way to hell. Why? Because you are not trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ to do the work. It's sin. Legalism is sin. It's just not another way to Christ. It's the opposite way from Christ. You can try to live a good life all you want. I'm here to tell you from personal experience, you will fail. You will fail, and you'll get discouraged, and you'll quit coming to church, and you'll lay out, and you'll get all, why? Because you're still trying on your own. What you need to do is repent and say, I'm sorry that I don't believe you. I'm sorry I don't believe your blood is enough. I have to save myself. If you mean that repentance, you go watch God come on the scene. He'll change you. But you got to lay down your own ideas of what it means to be holy. Jesus Christ said that except a man be born of water and spirit, he will in no wise enter into the kingdom. You are helpless. Helpless. Dead. I'm going back to the other quote I stopped on. Dead, formal, just exactly what the Bible said there would be. A Laodicea church age, lukewarm, spurted from the mouth of God. Christ on the outside trying to get in and a church inside won't let him in. Why? Because they won't accept correction. And Christ brings correction. When you won't accept the word to correct you, to show you where we're coming up short, to say we've got a wrong attitude, we have a wrong belief, we are putting our evidence on the wrong thing, and we won't accept that, we're putting Christ out. And all we can do is be a lukewarm Laodicean message believer. That's the best that you can produce in yourself. Not accepting correction. I'm going to read this quote, just part of it I read several weeks ago. I just can't get rid of it. He says, your unbelief in his word. Let me go back. He said, your sin murdered him. Your unbelief in his word. Your failing to see his identification grieved away the Holy Spirit. Failing to see his identification is what grieved him away. What is that talking about? When Christ comes in the word to manifest himself and you don't recognize it as being Christ. He comes with the characteristics of a father to bring correction and you don't accept it. You are not identifying him. And failing to see that identification grieves him away and makes you a murderer of the word. And his blood is on your hands. I'm going to get to one more part that is just tie this all together, I believe. If I can find it. I'll just put it away. Here it is. Song of Solomon. There's two places I want to read. Song of Solomon 3. Verse 1. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Oh, brother, can't you identify with that? Longing for God, something inside, a thirst, and you seeking him. You're looking for him. You know there's something different. You try what the world has to offer, maybe. Maybe you haven't, but there's something inside that just a yearning. It's a thirst, and nothing can satisfy it. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I'll get up. I'm not going to lay here. I'm not going to stay here and die. I can't get comfortable in this world. I got to find something that will satisfy this longing. I sought him. I went to this church. I went to that place. I went to that bar. I went to that woman. I went to that job. I went to whatever, and I couldn't find him. Then he said, verse 3, the watchmen that go about the city found me. Hallelujah. The watchmen that go about the city found me. He was sent here for me. To whom I said, saw you him whom my soul loveth? Can you get me to Christ? Can you tell me about Christ? Can I be born again? Can I be satisfied? Can you get me there? And it said, it was but a little while that I passed from them, but I found him. What was it? There was a provided way to find him. It was through the watchman. For those of you who don't believe in the watchman, you are wrong. You are lost. Lost. And you can't choose your own watchman, someone who makes you happy. You have to have the one God gives you. You want to find this one who your soul loveth. You go to with your watchman. He'll point you to Christ. But look, he said, a little while I passed from them, I found him. Because it ain't you and the watchman. It's just you and Christ alone. It's just you and Christ. Just you and Christ. It's not you and the prophet. It's not you and your pastor. It's not you and your family. It's just you and Christ. He alone is your satisfaction. He alone makes your life worth living. He alone gets you up in the morning and puts you to bed at night. He alone is with you through your storm. It's just him. But you only get there through the watchman. My, a little while had passed, but I found him whom my soul loveth. He pointed me the right direction. He got me going the right way. I held him and would not let him go. I would not let him go until I brought him to my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. I was born in Christ in this little church. This is where I was born in Christ. My, I take this personal. Some of you are sitting there struggling tonight. And you're thinking, oh, Brother Phil, I know that joy you're talking about, but I'm not feeling it right now. You know what you need to do? Is you need to step outside that little selfish feeling and start giving God praise for what he has done for you. Quit being selfish. I need to go to another place. Song of Solomon 5, verse 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. Look what he's calling you. You're sleeping. What does that mean? Not physical sleep. It's mean you're just relaxed. You're kicking back in your church pew. I'm having a good time. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I'm going to rapture. He said, wait a minute. I want a closer relationship with you. I sleep, but my heart awaketh. It's the voice of my love, beloved, knocking. Have you heard the voice of God speak? He says, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. This is him calling you. This is who you are in his sight. You say, you don't know what I did today, brother Phil. He says, you're undefiled. He says, you're my love. You're my dove. You're everything I long for. You're everything I died for. You're everything I rose for. I did it all for you. Won't you come walk closer to me? My hair is filled with dew. My locks with the drops of the night. He's seeking shelter with his wife. He's seeking shelter with you. He says, why don't we get together? I want shelter. I am tired of being by myself. I don't want to be alone. Come and give me shelter just like I give shelter to you. Will you give him a place tonight? I don't feel like it tonight, Brother Phil. He still loves you just the same. Listen to what we say. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Oh, Brother Phil, I really, you know, I appreciate what you're saying, but I've been a good Christian for years. I live a good, clean, holy life. You think I should get serious about more God? You think I'm not where I need to be? I'm born again. I'm going in the rapture. Relax, Brother Phil. That's what this person's saying. I'm a good Christian. I'm relaxed. I'm here. I'm lukewarm in my nice, comfortable message bed. But he says, I want more from you. I want a closer walk. I want you to be my everything. I want to be your everything. And you're laying there. So do I want to respond to this? I know he's tugging at my heart. Do I really want to respond? My beloved put his hand in by the hole of the door, and I saw the nail scars, and I remembered what he had done for me, and my bowels were moved from him. He drew me towards him. He expressed love to me, projected love by what he was saying to me. You know, one time, Brother Jerry, he preached on how Jesus projected love to that rich young ruler. And he felt that rich old ruler knew he was in the presence of love. But he turned it down. But not you. My bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved. My hands dropped with myrrh. My fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handle of the lock. I opened to my beloved. I stood to praise him. I scurried home to pray. I decided, yes, I want a closer walk with you. But my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. You been there? He draws us. When we finally get to the place, okay, I'm ready to come. And then you go to pray. You get that closer walk, and you want to see God, and it's just like dead. And you feel so backslid. How'd you get there? Probably because you got into a lukewarm, comfortable state instead of staying fervent in love with Jesus Christ. Something of the world drew your attention. And he's been calling to you. He's been preaching to you. He's been saying, he's been showing his love. He's been telling you what he thinks about you. He's been saying, you're my love. You're my dove. You're my everything. But yet the world has got such a pull sometime. And finally, okay, I want more Christ. And he was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Sit there sometime in your pew and people around you being blessed, and you sit there feeling just as dead and cold. Testing, training, chastening, But listen to this. The watchmen that went about the city found me. Oh my. Oh, the watchmen are still there. They're still at their post. Listen, let me go back where I said before. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth, and a little bit more, I found him. But listen to this time. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the wall took away my veil from me. Oh, yeah. What was that? Chastening. The voice of God bringing chastening, saying you need to get more right with God. You need more Christ in your life. Your attitude is wrong. You need to repent of this. You need to do something about this situation. And all my comfortable message-believing doctrine and religion started being stripped away from me. I don't care how born again you are. We still need correction, brother and sister. You sit there too comfortable and the watchman is going to come and smite you. Have you ever felt the smiting? Of course you have. Some of you have been smitten tonight. Why? Because he says, my love, my undefiled, open to me. I love you. I want to be your everything. And we resist. I'm comfortable. Why can't we just, we're born again, we're going to the rapture. Why can't we just chill a minute? Because that's not the way love works. Lukewarm religion chills. They smote me, they wounded me. The keepers of the veil of the wall took my veil from me. They ripped off my homemade religion, my fig leaf religion. Look how holy I was. God, I'm doing so good this week. Now I feel so, there's nothing. I just discouraged. I don't even know if I want to, I feel like even being a Christian anymore. You sorry thing. He's saving your soul. He says, don't settle down. Don't get comfortable. Stay in love. Listen what she says. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. That doesn't mean like sick and sick. It's like I am love sick. I love him so much and I can't find him right now. I'm going through a desert time. It's dry. But when you're praying, tell him that I love him too. Will you do that? When you get alone with God and you start praying for the people in this church, you make sure you tell him Phil loves you too. He don't act like it sometimes, but he does. The watchmen, they're going to get you in the rapture. They go about the city. They find the thieves and the robbers, and they get rid of them. But those of you who are sick from love, they're going to get you in the right place. They're going to point you in the right direction. Sometimes they're going to smite you. Sometimes they're going to strip away your religious veil you have so much confidence in. But don't you worry. You pass from them a little ways, and you're going to find him who your soul loveth. Let's stand. I feel refreshed. Physically, I'm wore out. My voice, I'm not going to be able to speak tomorrow. That's all right. Spiritually, I feel refreshed. I don't know what God did for you tonight, but he did a lot for me. He encouraged me. Show me who I am in a clearer light. Show me what he's done for me in a clearer light. Hope he's done the same for you. Maybe you're in a place where he smote you and took away your veil. Maybe you're in a place where he's feeding you in those shaded green pastures. I don't know, we're on a different place. Identify where you're at, brother and sister. Identify where your relationship with is with Christ, because it's between you and him. All the watchman can do is give you the word. The voice of God speaking through him, but you decide what you do with it. Are you going to eat it? Or are you going to say, I really don't like this particular pasture? I promise you, you'll be back to eat a mouthful, a whole bellyful. Then we go on. The reason this church is going on, like I said a couple times, is because we've learned to take correction. And we're going on. Amen. One day this is going to be over, folks. We're going in a rapture. Promise you. Promise you. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and speaking to us tonight, Lord. Thank you for the power that we were. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for bringing the reality of who we are and who you are, and helping us to identify you and identifying ourselves, and that we are one with you, Father. Oh, the way you look at us, the way you feel towards it, your love for us, Lord, is so unfathomable. And Lord, sometimes we are so lacking in understanding it. But you're always so faithful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's late. We're just going to sing a little song. You're dismissed. Let's sing that little chorus, "Oh, I Want to See Him and Look Upon His Face," as you go. Let's pray for me. I got to go to Indiana.